Hello, this is old JP, coming to you from down in Alabama. The Hillbilly Luchador Podcast right here. You know, I've had a really good 2018. And as it's winding down, I put together a little episode that is just kind of a hodgepodge of some of the things that I've done this year. Some of the things that have affected me, and it's kind of a year-end review episode is what we're trying to do with this one. As I've been reflecting, you know, throughout the holidays and everything, and I hope that everybody had a great holiday, by the way, and a Merry Christmas if you're celebrating or not. You know, as I was saying, as I've reflected over the holidays, over the 2018 year, it's been a good year for me, man. I can't really complain about anything. Had some great times throughout this year, and with every year that goes by, it seems to go a little faster. And I don't know why that is. I guess it's as you get older, the days just pass by faster. But no, I don't have anything as far as gripes and complaints too much on this episode. Today is the 30th, so it's almost over. December 30th, 2018 is when I'm recording this open here to this podcast. I got a very special guest on here, my cousin, one of my closest friends, and a guy who I've always considered to pretty much be a brother to me, my first cousin Chris. We talk a little bit. We try to get together around the holidays and play some music. We always enjoyed doing that back when our grandparents were alive, and we'd go and play them some music from time to time around the holidays. And this became kind of a tradition that sometimes I drop the ball on. I'll take the blame for the majority of it. But made it happen this year, and it was a great time. Went down to see him, and we sat out on the porch and played some music. You can watch that video of the songs that we played on my YouTube channel, JoshPorter08, or you can check it out on Facebook. I posted it up on there, too. So a lot of people have already watched it and got a lot of really good feedback out of it, and it's always, always very, very nice to get positive feedback about the music that we play, you know. Nothing better. So thank everybody who watched that video and took time to listen to us during their holiday season. But anyway, we do a little chatting on here about this, that, and another. So that'll be in here. And I've also just been trying to record some random thoughts and things that I've had over the last few weeks, so I'll stick them in probably at the end of the episode. Got a new video opening here. Gonna try that out and see how that works. So don't think that there's anything wrong when the video fades out on you after the opening of this podcast and we go straight audio for the rest of the show. But if you're watching on YouTube, you will get to see my sweet face for just a few minutes here. But great year, man. Just watched the first round, or the only round, I guess, the college football playoff last night. And the only negative thing I can say about myself is I lose all my good sense when I'm watching football, and I probably should never do it in a public environment. We had some friends over last night, and they are much like me. They lose their good sense too. We had a good time, but I get caught up in it, and I really, really spew out some hate toward the other team, which is a little overdone, I guess. But you know, sometimes when you get the beers to flowing or whatever, some things might be said that you regret later on. But woke up this morning feeling all right, kicking around just like I always have, and all I can say about Oklahoma is they played Alabama about as good as they could, considering that they do not have a very good defense. I don't know what it's going to take for Big 12 teams to make changes to get better on the defensive side of the football. I mean, it put them in such a hole last night that they couldn't get out of it even if they wanted to. I mean, you go down 28-0 against a very good Alabama team. There's really, it's a big task to try to climb out of that hole, and they did. I mean, they made it respectable and did come back, but Oklahoma was unable to get the job done on that big comeback, which Alabama looks great. Tua playing great, you know, after the ankle problems and whatnot. So it was very fun to see my team win again. You know, we've been very lucky and blessed to be in this college football playoff year in and year out since they changed the system over to that. And there are teams that are getting in that shouldn't be in, and I think that Notre Dame is one of those teams. They shouldn't have been there, but it's not for me to decide who the hell selected for this thing. But yeah, Notre Dame did not look good against Clemson, so we're gonna get another big Alabama Clemson game, and we'll see what happens. You know, I think Alabama's as good as anybody in the country. This is one of the best teams that we've had in a very long time on both sides of the football. The defense is very talented, and I think they'll be able to get the job done, but we shall see. I will be rooting for them and not drinking that night, because in January, as we do, you know, most humans, I'll be going on a diet in January and trying to get myself straight, because ever since we got back from Hawaii in October, I have not been taking very good care of myself. I've been eating and drinking whatever I want to, and I'm starting to feel it. You know, as you get older, you have to be conscientious of what you put in your body and how much exercise you get. And I've dropped the ball on that, but I'm going to pick that ball back up in January and get after it. But other than that, I also celebrated a pretty monumental achievement. You know, I've always been a guy who has traded and swapped instruments throughout the years, just trying to find the perfect guitar, the perfect instrument for me. And back in 1998, the Christmas of 1998, I got my Fender American Standard Telecaster. And surprisingly, through all the trading throughout the years, I've still got it. It's been with me for 20 years this month, so I'm celebrating a 20-year anniversary with it, and I don't play it as much as I used to. I got me a Nash S63 Strat-style guitar a few years ago, and that has really been my main electric that I use pretty much all the time, but I still love my Telecaster, and I still get it out and keep the strings changed on it and do some twanging along every now and then. It's very weird how every time I pick up that guitar, I play a little bit differently than I do with any other guitar out there. It really brings out the twang in my fingers, I guess you would say. It's just a perfect guitar for country music, and I'm very blessed that it's in really good shape. I don't have many issues with it. I've done a few modifications here and there, but she stayed with me the whole time, and I'm gonna hang on to her as long as I can. But anyway, I'll go ahead and get on with the episode here, and again, thank y'all for listening, and if you want to check me out on my website, you can do that. I got all my original music up there that you can go and listen to at any time, and I always post these podcasts. The most recent one is on there as well, if you don't like to fool with Apple Podcasts, which it'll be on Apple Podcasts, of course. That's the main platform for it. But YouTube, I'm going to start putting it on my Facebook page at Josh Porter Music. You can check it out over there if you're a Facebook user and enjoy that platform. You can check it out over there. But anyway, I'm going to quit jabbering. I hope everybody had a great 2018, and again, thanks for all the support and all the friendships that I've made and maintained throughout the year. I appreciate y'all very much, anybody who's in my life. And that's it, and that's all. Let's get the show going.
So if this is truly a conversation, then I say let the conversation begin.
An entertainer. He's a... Everybody loves to watch him.
Yeah. He's built a fan base too.
Big. And I won't say anything bad about him.
I found that he's got, and this is just for me personally, he's probably got a dozen songs that I would consider to be really, really great songs. But other than that, I feel like Garth Brooks is the Kiss of country music.
Mm-hmm.
I think that...
I'll agree with that.
The gimmick has overshadowed anything musically that he's done.
I'll agree with that.
And that's the part of it. It's a business, you know. He's been able to repackage and resell and... Have you noticed almost every holiday around Christmas, he's got a box set or something?
At the dollar store.
Well, I've seen him at the Target. I haven't seen him at the dollar store.
Yeah, I saw it at the dollar store.
Well, he's reselling it, and these people are buying it. And they're buying the same thing over and over because he don't put out new music. Mm-hmm. He recorded an album a couple years ago, and I didn't listen to it. So I won't comment on how good or bad it was, but for a man who don't really have any success as far as the radio anymore, he don't, that I know of, that I've read about because I don't listen to radio, but I just find it pretty amazing that he's still able to put out a special on TV and get 10 million people to watch it.
He's he's somebody that's always going to be around.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to always see the big G.
So he broadcasts from Studio G. Have you seen him on social media?
So, I mean, he's going to be around.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. Like I said, I saw his box set at the dollar store.
Yeah.
I didn't buy it. It was cheap, but I didn't buy
somebody it. Somebody bought it, though.
Yeah, somebody bought that. I didn't. Because I don't guess that since the dance.
that was his second album, wasn't it?
Was it?
No offenses.
I don't know.
I think the dance was on his first or second one. Well, I know you bought his first one because I bought it from you.
Yeah, because that's the only one I heard. And then I sold it to you for some reason.
It was a lot of that went on at that time.
So that's the only song I ever heard him sing. So
we really did some tape trading back then.
Yeah.
I feel like out of the class of 89, which was his five folks, you know, Vince Gill, Alan Jackson, Clint Black, and Travis Tritt. He's the least talented one out of that bunch.
Oh, yeah.
No doubt. Made more money than all of them.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. As far as talent goes, I mean, you mentioned Vince Gill,
mm-hmm.
Alan Jackson. Alan Jackson goes back to a Garth Brooks stance right there. I mean, he's a good songwriter.
Yeah.
But you take Vince Gill, you take Travis Tritt. I mean, Travis Tritt is a great guitar player.
Yes, he is.
I mean, really?
He is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And a great performer.
Yeah. But Vince, he's just, he's that Eric Clapton of country music.
Yeah, he's the most versatile out of that bunch, for sure.
Yeah,
I mean, the Eagles hired Vince Gill to play with them.
Yeah, I mean, come on, you got somebody right there.
And he don't play lead with the Eagles. One of the best guitar players in the world, and old Joe Walsh.
And it's hard to get him to play lead.
Yeah, it's weird.
Anytime.
It's very strange.
Yeah, but he's great. Sure is.
I think about that a lot because I can't get rid of Garth Brooks, and that ain't nothing personal against him, but I just sometimes get aggravated with being over exposed to somebody that I don't really care nothing about being exposed to. Like, I had to block Garth on Twitter because he kept coming in on me trying to get me to buy his albums.
Well... Again, he was pushed on me. I went to the Dollar General one day to buy some toilet paper.
Yeah, and there he was.
And there he was, and he was pushed on me. And I can't buy Garth.
No, and he was one of the last ones to finally give in to the digital sales of his music too. Because he wanted to keep repackaging it and reselling it to folks at the department store. But, yeah, that's one of the things I'll remember about 2018. There was a lot of Garth Brooks everywhere.
Well,
still.
And it'll be there 2019, too. Cause
that'll be the
30th.
Yeah, we'll have a 30th anniversary of him. No. Here's something that I'm going to talk about a little bit. We can cut it off if we need to. But sometimes whenever I talk about newer country music, it's through the lens of somebody who's unfamiliar with it now because I've decided to block most of it out of my life.
Yeah.
But do you think that it's all right for fellas like myself and you to voice our opinions on it and even be critical of it when we don't have a horse in the race, so to speak? Or do you think that it's best to let the people who own country music and the people who are promoting it and in the quote-unquote business side of it, just let them be and go on with your day? Do you think that's a good idea to just do that, or should you be critical of it?
All right, so you're talking about, should I have a voice?
Correct.
To say, this is no good?
Correct.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right.
All right. But.
All right.
Everyone in charge, Nashville, New York, California, wherever they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let them go. And, excuse me. When it finally comes down to it, when country music's no more.
Yep.
Which is happening.
Correct.
Then let them go out and find them a job. Because there's still going to be people like me and like you that's going to want to hear country music.
The real stuff.
The real stuff. And when there's no more, I still listen to the radio every now and then, and I'll hear a song and it gets me. I like it. And I think, well, that's what we need.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you hear is, I won't call any names, but
snap tracks.
Yeah.
A lot of snapping and clapping going on.
Yes, sir.
Which is, I mean.
Yeah, that's fine.
It is fine, and it's making a lot of money. I mean, there ain't no doubt that it's making a lot of money. It's got to be, or they wouldn't continuously put it out.
Exactly. But all I know is just they've got their job. And if it's keeping that music going and people are buying it,
mm-hmm.
maybe I might be a minority on that, yeah. You know, but still, I'm not going to buy it.
No, I'm not either. I don't, you're better than me because I really don't listen to FM radio that much anymore. At all, really, unless somebody else has got it on. But I just find it very interesting that they call the music country, and they don't even have, like, even if you could have like a day out of the week that you would, you know, allow traditional country music to get on your programs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They don't even have that anymore. Like, there's not any traditional country music unless you go looking for it and you go buy the records and all that on your own.
Right.
Which is, it's very, very good now that you can do that. I remember a time, well, I credit you with introducing me to Waylon Jennings music. And you're just a few years older than I am, but they've always done this. They've always forced out the older artist and started with a crop of new. And they had done this in the 90s whenever I grew up listening to country music and whatnot. And the only way I ever knew about Waylon's music was going and seeing you play, and you were playing a lot of his songs and stuff. So then I went and got some of his music. So, at least now, if a kid wants to find out about traditional country music, the internet's out there.
Yeah, exactly. Waylon, well, Willie, he kept
tooling
along, you know.
Well, he's always been able to toe the line.
Yeah,
with popular music.
Yeah,
too.
He could keep on strolling along, but Merle Haggard, it just. George Jones,
yes.
The greatest, you know.
Yeah.
All these people that they said were so great. Hank Williams Jr., Entertainer of the Year, great entertainer. Good musician, great musician. All of a sudden, he's selling out shows. But where's the radio play?
It's gone.
I mean, I was doing a double band session at a just a bar, you know. But we were playing one night, and I had this young lady walk up because we play our kind of music.
Yeah.
This other group was playing a newer country, and this young lady comes walking up, when is the other band gonna come back? You know, how does that make you feel?
Yeah.
So.
There is a generational gap, and like I said, somebody's buying this music, and it's obviously a lot of younger people do like this music.
Mm-hmm.
I work with a younger cat who, he loves it, you know, and he's country is a turnip green. But he loves it.
Yeah.
Sam Hunt and all them cats. He loves
man,
all that stuff.
On.
You know?
I'm not going to start. But, I mean, that's one thing I've always been. I believe in real country music that tells a story. I've always admired you because you kept it that way, you know.
Well, thank you.
And that's what I've always admired you. I've always bragged and said, man, this dude is something else.
Thank you.
And so.
Well, you know, that means a lot coming from you because you know, you were basically the one who inspired me to do anything with music in the first place, just watching what you were doing and all that back in the day. And something that I do and you do and most normal people do that aren't in the quote-unquote big music business is when we decide to play something different, whether it be blues or rock or whatever, We call it that.
Exactly.
I think
we don't change the genre, the name of our music.
Like I've recently got into doing instrumental songs and stuff, and I don't share a lot of it because it's just craziness. It's synthesizers and all that weird stuff. I like that stuff now. I guess it's...
So you've turned into Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, I do Stevie Wonder, and...
nothing wrong with that.
I do... most of this stuff's instrumental that I do just simply because it's too weird to make up lyrics to and all. But I would never put that out and say that it's country. That's always been my gripe about the new country scene is that they're doing pop music.
Well, it didn't just start. Like we was talking about Waylon Jennings. They blame Waylon Jennings bringing in contemporary music to the country. Look at Hank Williams Jr. He can rock 'em. He can rock and roll bigger than anybody. But he's still got true country roots, and it's real country that they put on the radio. It's got a story, most of it.
Well, even in a time when if you want to get cross that line with gimmicks or whatever and do silly story songs or whatever, that's fine. I think that's fine and dandy.
Yeah, I like a good laugh.
I do too. Roger Miller wrote some of the funniest songs ever.
Well, Hank Williams wrote some funny songs. I mean,
My bucket's got a hole in it.
Yeah, can't buy no beer. You got to keep a little bit of humor in the music business.
Yeah, I don't want everything to be, I think that's something that's misunderstood, too, with newer country fans, is that all them old guys, all they want to listen to is somebody crying and whining.
Yeah, and it's not that way.
No, it's not that way. Uh-huh. I mean, you can just about go back and listen to any of the, especially the 70s Merle Haggard albums, and you can see exactly the perfect way to mix an album.
Right.
Where you have a happy song, a sad song, a medium song.
Right. You know? The old man from the mountains coming home and then turn around and sing me a sad song.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
That was the magic of country music. Mm,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
I used to spend a lot of time watching, all the award shows and all that and putting a lot of stock into... Who won the awards and all that, I guess it's just as you get older and you're not really part of the clique or whatever that buys every new record that comes out, you start to realize that all that's manufactured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you take an album now. Mm-hmm. There's not a 4-piece band.
Yeah,
5-piece band. Well, they may be. They'll be there, and some of them might not even play.
That's right.
It's really the recording stuff is out of hand, my friend. Just if you don't believe it, listen to Brad Paisley.
Yeah. Well, he had,
I'm sorry.
He had 20, I believe it was 20, there'll be somebody out there that'll correct me on this, but he had, on that song, The World, that he came out with, and that song's probably 10 years old now, but he had 25 or 30 guitar tracks on that one song.
Yes.
And there's no doubt Brad Paisley can play the guitar.
He is great.
He's a great
picker.
But, and I love a couple. Those first few albums were pretty good.
I love it.
But he's doing what he has to do to stay relevant in today's landscape.
Exactly.
But it's not.
Like I said, I love it, but it's everything's overproduced.
Mm-hmm.
There's
Travis Tritt posted something yesterday that was kind of interesting to me, and it's from his standpoint of somebody who's been in the business for a long time. He said a lot of these guys are talented and very capable of making, regular country music, if you will, but they're forced, you know, to do this. And I had to kind of correct him, and he liked my comment because I said, you know, these people aren't forced to do anything. Mm. They have chose to give up their individuality to make money.
Right.
They could work a day job, go home, and play their songs and record them and go play them live on the weekends and do them their way. Now, they ain't going to be famous over it, and they probably won't get rich doing it. Not now. But to say that these cats are forced to, like Florida Georgia Line is forced to do what they do.
They're not forced to do anything.
That they are selling people that kind of music and glad to do it. You know,
I mean, it's these people are there are some of the best musicians that's sitting here talking like me and you.
Yeah.
I mean, they can play.
Mm-hmm.
They're sitting at home.
Correct.
People that, they are willing to do anything to be in the spotlight.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll just sell their soul to be in the spotlight.
Exactly. Well,
but there's a few that maybe they don't care because they're not going to sell their soul, their music, and play a Friday and Saturday night in a beer joint.
Yeah.
You know, because as long as they've got the freedom to do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm. It's worth it to them that sacrifice.
It's worth it. They're not making millions.
Well, I tell you, a perfect example of somebody who had the opportunity to probably get more exposure on a mainstream level is Jamie Johnson.
Exactly.
And he, to my knowledge, I guess it's just stopped recording on account of his contract status.
The way I understand it,
because he's still playing live and making good money doing that. I mean, there's just absolutely no music coming out from him. It's been the strangest thing ever.
I really admire him.
Yeah, I do too.
Cause he ain't gonna back down. And there's a lot of people that won't back down, but don't have his success.
Yes, exactly.
But and I gotta, you know, you gotta give a shout out to them people.
Yes.
That they
walk away from it
and say, "Well, I'm gonna keep playing my music."
Yeah.
And so.
Yeah, that's something. Something that is very, very honorable to do, because I know, you know, we say, well, I wouldn't do what some of these artists do for money, but when you start seeing that kind of money that they're throwing at you, I'm sure it's pretty hard to say no.
Oh, shoot. You know what?
Yeah, I mean.
How you going to turn that down? You got to give them a big thumbs up on that. Keeping what music, whether it be country, rock and roll, blues, jazz, whatever, keeping it alive.
Exactly.
And like you said, not calling country blues or rock.
Yeah.
They've got their own place.
Boy, blues, that's another genre that really took a hit. They don't have nowhere to damn go. They ain't even got nobody impersonating them out there.
No.
When's the last time a blues song was a hit record? I can't remember a straight up blues song.
The closest thing to blues is supposed to be country, and that's Chris Stapleton. His music,
yeah.
but they call in that country, but it's really blues. I don't really understand what we're going through here.
Blues. Chris Stapleton's an interesting cat because he could also be considered soul.
Exactly. I don't understand Chris Stapleton.
I don't either, but he's a good one.
But I love him. I love his music. He's
well, that's like, he reminds
me. His wife is right on top of everything he does.
Yep.
His voice, the way his voice rolls and everything, he's got it.
I'm yeah.
Tickled over.
Now, he is a cat that can take his wife and about three other musicians and really make some magic.
And make magic.
And it's recorded that way. The majority of it's recorded just right there, live, the way that Dave Cobb records them. And yeah, he's an exception to whatever the rule is. Tennessee Whiskey, his version of that song is a blues song. You're right.
It's a blues song. This Millionaire.
Yeah.
Millionaire.
That's a good one. He got some good tunes, man.
Yeah. All right, enough about Chris.
Well, he's getting enough. He's getting enough publicity without us talking about him.
Yeah.
But is there anybody else in the blues that would be? I can't think of nobody. And blues is great, man.
Well, Gip got his guitar stole.
Yeah, they stole old Gip Gibson's. Ain't that his name, Gip Gibson?
Yeah.
They stole his guitars, man.
Yeah, two of them.
That's Bessemer for you. Golly. That's sad, that old man. He's 90 years old.
Yeah,
down here.
He's a legend.
Yeah, around here.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah.
What, you know, and people...
That's a blues legend. There you are. He's still going.
Yeah.
The Juke Joint, no.
Buddy Guy and all them cats, they still playing, but they ain't...
There's nothing out there about them.
No.
They're not pushing them out there, so
it's crazy. Like, and they've done what Garth has done in a respect. They built their audience,
yeah,
and their audience still buys their records and goes and sees them now.
But they don't have them at the dollar store.
No, they don't have them at the dollar store.
If you put your music at the dollar store, somebody will buy it.
Yeah, that's a fact.
I didn't buy it.
I imagine there's some folks at the dollar store looking for Buddy Guy, can't find him.
I didn't even know they sold CDs and
either.
Stuff like that.
They've
at
got
the
movies,
store.
Really high priced movies at the dollar store. I know that.
High price?
Yes, sir. Movies that come out 10 or 15 years ago and charging $12 for them when you can watch them for free on TV.
Yeah.
They get in the poor folks, man, at the dollar store a lot of times.
Yeah, the dollar store don't. It's a ripoff.
Yeah, their detergent's more expensive than Walmart and everything else.
Yeah, and you don't get as much either.
No. That's another thing they do. They downsize you at the dollar store.
Hey, go buy a roll of toilet paper there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they know what's going on.
That's what I was buying that day, I think, when I seen Garth there.
And there's one person working in there.
Yeah.
That place has got to be making some money.
Yeah, they're making money. They ain't nobody works there. They don't have to pay nobody.
One person is stocking, doing the register, and sometimes they'll be stocking. And there'll be a line, and ain't nobody at the register.
Because they're back there stocking.
You have to go get them.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a Southern experience for anybody out there that ain't never been to the Dollar General.
And, buddy, it don't matter. I've been wanting to put one up here.
Well, you could. They put them about every half a mile, it seems like.
I thought I'd put one here at the corner of the property.
Yeah. You could put one here, I guarantee you, and people would go to it.
Yeah, if they could get up that road to it.
We are sitting out in the country here, surrounded by houses. This is the strangest piece of property you'll ever see. It's beautiful here. But you do have, like, subdivisions all around you. This is what country life is coming to down here. You know? That's progress, I reckon, huh?
Yeah. But It's the woods,
yeah.
Country.
Oh, yeah.
Got a little strip over here, a little strip over there, and then the rest of it's houses all around it. But I got a barrier.
Yeah, so. Yeah, you got your trees and everything. They don't bother you, it don't seem like.
Nah.
That's all right, my friend. Well, we've done quite a while, 40 minutes. I reckon that's long enough.
All right. You done with me?
Well, we've done a lot of talking off air. And I always enjoy talking to you. I hope you have a good 2019.
I hope you do too.
We'll try to do some musical projects and whatnot.
I would love to.
Thank you for doing this, my friend.
You're welcome.
You know, some of the best memories from 2018 happened around late September, early October, whenever we were visiting my wife's family over in Oahu, Hawaii. Particularly, my wife, myself, and her two younger cousins had gone swimming there at Hickam Beach on the Air Force Base, and we were driving back, and her younger cousin had a had a playlist on her phone from the early 2000s, and I think she's like 16, and it's a novelty to her to go back and listen to quote-unquote old songs from the early 2000s. Kind of makes me feel my age a little bit, but for whatever reason, and this happens to me a lot throughout life in general, that day while I was swimming out there, I had had the song Don't Matter by Akon pop into my head. And I hadn't heard that song in years, and just so happened she brought it up on her playlist or whatever, and we had that thing blaring through the radio driving back from the beach. And it's just I guess that song now will always be associated with that memory. It's weird how the mind works, but that's one of the best memories I have from 2018. I'm a vinyl record collector and have been for the last few years, and just wanted to kind of highlight some of the, just a few of the records that I found this year. We found, really. My wife's always helping me out in that area. We went to a record show, I guess sometime back during the summer of 2018, and I actually finally found, after all these years of collecting records, some mint condition Fleetwood Mac, man. And I think there's a valid argument to say that the Rumors album may be one of the best complete albums of all time. Man, that's just so good. And, you know, to put on a good set of headphones and listen to it from beginning to end, it's an experience to listen to that album on vinyl. I got an original pressing. It sounds phenomenal, man. I think that was my find of the year, actually. I found a lot of good records this year. Even discovered some music that I never even thought about listening to, as far as Loudon Wainwright III. That album that I bought of his was just phenomenal. The ones with the Dead Skunk on there, but there's a lot of other good songs on there too. And I also saw, we were at a shop recently and saw the reissue of that album. I think it's crazy that they're reissuing that album, but yeah, man, Fleetwood Mac, I think it's at the top of the list. I found some good Waylon this year that I didn't think I would ever even find. Some of the MCA years in the later 80s that I, some of them I wasn't even aware were pressed on vinyl, but I found them, and those were always, you know, he's always going to be in my top of everything. I'm still looking for the Honky Tonk Heroes album. I'm not really wanting to take the easy way out and buy the eBay, you know, eBay copy of it or the reissue. I'm going to keep searching around until I find me an original, hopefully. That's one of the, as far as his popular albums, that's the only one that I don't have on vinyl. I've got a whole bunch of his albums that weren't popular ones, too. But anyway, yeah, Fleetwood Mac, Rumors, that's got to be my 2018 vinyl find of the year. Thank you.
before I move on to some other memories from 2018, I think it's very important to also put Tom Petty's Full Moon Harvest in my vinyl finds of the year. You know, I've been looking for this album for many, many years, really, and finally got a light new original pressing copy of it at Seasick Records here on Crestwood Boulevard in Birmingham, Alabama, and it was worth $40 I paid for it. I usually don't pay that much for records, but you know, sometimes you just gotta bite the bullet. I've never seen one in as good a shape as the one I've got, and I've listened to it many, many times this year. You know, moving on a little bit, some more memories from 2018. We spent some time down on the Gulf Coast, as we usually do, but there's a little town that we've kind of fell in love with over the last year or so, called Fairhope. And the best way to describe it is like a smaller, more intimate, not as dirty New Orleans. You can walk anywhere in town and go to the little antique shops, bookstores, and restaurants and bars and stuff. So it's a pretty, pretty cool little place. It's kind of weird on Saturday nights. They close pretty much everything kind of early, though. You forget how strange it is to not have late night options. But that's the way, you know, small town America used to be, and Fairhope is still that way. I think it's pretty cool, too, that there's no chain restaurants there. Or at least in the old part of town, anyway. That's something you don't see hardly at all anymore. There are chains everywhere. Chick-fil-A's, McDonald's, Hardee's, and all that good jazz. Fairhope's different, though. They're keeping it old school, and it's very, very refreshing. That's to say the least.
You know, one of my favorite things to do is to look back at the year and music and movies and whatnot and just kind of reflect on the art that, you know, gave me some satisfaction throughout the year. And looking back on this year, I finally come to terms with the fact that the thing that modern, quote-unquote, pop country did for me more so than anything else was made me come to the realization that out of all the modern music, which it, you know, rock or pop or country or rap or whatever, out of all those different genres, the one genre that actually represents itself 100% for what it is pop music. And one of my favorite songs this year was The Middle by Zed, Gray,
and the fantastic Maren Morris. I don't really understand. I've listened to this song hundreds of times, and it seems like what's taking place here is a young couple gets into a pretty heated argument in the kitchen and proceeds to tear the place up pretty good. They're throwing dishes. We got, you know, the water's running. All kind of shit has really broke loose during what I would assume to be one or the other. Washing dishes is the only reason why you would have all your cabinets open and the water running. Now, I could be wrong on this, but one of the most fantastic things about it is not only the composition of the song, but Maren Morris's voice, man. You talking about a stunner. If you never saw her visually, you would just be in awe, or at least I would be in awe. I won't tell you what you're going to think about her, but if I never saw Maren, I would have been in awe of her voice. So much power. I love that. You know, power, as far as vocal power, is something that is overdone a lot. A lot of people oversing. But I don't feel like she does. I feel like, man, she really brings the heat whenever she delivers a powerful vocal. And, yeah, the middle's a perfect example of that. And whenever she says in the song, "Why don't you pull me closer? Come on over. Why don't you pull me closer?" Whoa. I'm a happily married man, but man, live, it creates such a visual, you know, especially once you see Mrs. Morris, or Miss Morris, I don't know if she's married or not, but once you see her, she's a pretty little thing, Lord have mercy, and she's singing her butt off on this song, and one of my favorite things of 2018 was listening to pop music, and specifically this song, you know, The Middle. So if you get time, listen to it and try to keep an open mind. If you're not a pop music fan or whatever, just listen to the different layers of one of the things about pop music as well is the different layers of recording. And that's 2018 has brought me anything. I've really, really gone deeper into the recording process and just the little bitty things that are hidden in your favorite songs. Another artist, pop artist, that really put out some great material over the last year is Shawn Mendes. And you know, sometimes when you got a heartthrob, people discredit their talent. You know, and this young man right here, he can sing his butt off too. Got him a Stratocaster guitar. He reminds me a lot of John Mayer in his early days. Not necessarily for the sound. I don't think they sound that much alike, but just the way he carries himself and the way that women react to him. He had a song about mental health this year, though, called "In Your Blood" or "In My Blood." It isn't "In My Blood." Yeah, "In My Blood," and it was a big hit, and I think that with all the crazy stuff that goes on in the world, there's a reason why I said crazy stuff. It's because mental health is on the forefront, it should be, of our everyday conversations and stuff, and it's not talked about that much. And to hear a young man like this, he wrote the song as well, to hear him discuss it and be able to put out a pop song that reached millions and millions of people was a great thing. Another great musical moment of 2018. I remember just listening to this song over and over as well, because it's got a lot of layers to it too. You know, as much as I love acoustic music and stuff like that, some of these creations that are being created in the studios, and some people frown upon, you know, Pro Tools and different digital ways of making music. It's great, man. It's a different thing. And I think that, you know, when you're in the mood to listen to acoustic music, just go listen to it. That's the great thing about the internet, is you don't have to eat what the big record companies feed you anymore. You can kind of, whether you go buy vinyl or you just get on YouTube and search random people and listen to music that way. That's one of the great things about the internet, and it's really opened up a lot of doors for a lot of people. And this young man, Shawn Mendez, was actually discovered through YouTube. Yeah, he was on there doing covers, much like myself, just doing covers, you know, up in Canada in his room. And now he's one of the biggest superstars in the world. So that's pretty cool, pretty cool. I've listened to several of his albums, and I'm a fan, man. I don't have a problem as a 36-year-old male admitting that I enjoy pop music. And going back, you know, this year, I guess, kind of just reflecting, you know, my wife listened to a lot of it, so I would hear it in the car and stuff with her, old pop music. She loves Whitney Houston and artists like that, Mariah Carey, and she'd have that on or whatever, and I caught myself listening to it whenever she's not with me. So that tells you her influence on me. And yeah, man, I've come to terms with being a pop music fan, and like I said, I used to kind of be a tough guy, and I just kind of frowned upon it and thought it was stupid, repetitive, or whatever. But there's a lot of really, really hard work that goes into making pop songs, and 2018 has really made me realize that I'm a pop music fan. And like I was saying, I do feel like pop is the only genre that represents itself for what it truly is, which is pop music. Country, quote unquote, mainstream, dang sure isn't country anymore. So yeah, I would rather listen to people actually, you know, making pop music than trying to sell me that they're rock, rap, or even quote unquote country, like Florida Georgia Line and people like that. But anyway, I'm not trying to get on a hate section. That's just my thoughts on the best music of 2018 on a mainstream level is definitely from the pop genre. So give it a chance.